Rather than read from the back of the devotional, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And I'll be reading verses 5 through 13. This is the model prayer, Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray at their request. And some years ago, this was a fascinating section of scripture for me. And if you'll allow me to, I will read the Greek phrasing for part of it. And when I read that, you'll understand why one of my requests has been for the Lord to allow me to participate in the letting of the lets. Jesus said, "Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Therefore, you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, let be revered your name. Let come your kingdom. Let be done your will on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." May God add his blessing to that reading of his word.
Topic of our message series that we're starting is the here and now of prayer. Now, I'm going to make a suggestion to you. What you're going to hear over the next few Sundays is the result of many months of study and meditation and prayer and consultation with others, primarily my wife. And if you're a note taker, there might be some good things here for you. I've been holding back, actually, heading into this topic, and Liz and Tad know that because I had a special song attached to starting this message. And how long ago was that, Liz? A couple months ago, at least, that I said, get ready with this song. And so I am a little nervous about this, tell you the truth, because I want to have clarity today, and I want to be able to convey this in a way that you can take this and distill it into your life to make a practical difference in your days. So, with that being said, the here and now of prayer. We talked about the mechanics of prayer. Remember some time ago where you set aside a particular place, you set aside a particular time, and a particular posture. You know, those are the mechanics of prayer, time of day, and sometimes it can become, prayer can become almost mechanical if we're not, if we don't have an understanding of what's happening when we pray. And so what I want to talk about is this, that's the mechanical aspect of prayer, and now we're going to talk about the spiritual, if I can use that phrase, spiritual aspect of prayer, and what actually happens when we pray. So we know that repentance is how we gain access to the kingdom of God. Repentance gives us access to it. You, if you've repented, have access to a new reality. Isn't that exciting? This topic has just been so invigorating for me and exciting. You have access to a new world. And this new world, this new reality is called the kingdom of God. That's repentance. But are you experiencing the kingdom of God? You know, you've got the way in, you've repented, here's a new world, here's a new reality, and it can just stay there without you really experiencing it. This is such a gift from the heavenly realm for his people. So if repentance is the way we have access, how do we experience it? How do you experience this new world and this new reality today? And that is through prayer. Prayer allows us to actually plug into this new realm and live out of that new realm called the kingdom of God. Jesus teaches somewhat on prayer, somewhat. He teaches here in Matthew, he teaches sprinkled throughout his ministry, he says, you know, if you pray in my name, that God will answer. That whatever you ask in my name, God will answer. Someone was listening to my messages on the website, and I prayed, and at the end of my prayer, I failed to say, in Jesus' name. And this person called me on it and said, you didn't say in Jesus' name at the end of your prayer. And you said, you know, you're supposed to do that. And I wanted to. How sophomoric can you be? Do you think that when Jesus said, pray in my name, that he meant to add that little ditty at the end of our prayers? No. No. See, we're going to learn what that means to pray in Jesus' name. And here's what Jesus promised us. If you pray in his name, he said, and I have high veridity for Jesus' words, he said, God will always answer that prayer. Always. Whatever you ask in my name, whatever, God will do it. How you doing with that? Has that been your experience? Would you like it to be? Because it can. And I looked at, and again, because what Teresa said, Teresa's drew my attention to this prayer we call the Lord's Prayer. And you know, it rattled around in my head for so long. And you all know this prayer. If I would ask any one of you right now to stand up and recite this prayer, you would do it. But I thought, it's so simple. There's got to be a greater profundity behind the simplicity of this prayer. And that, boy, is there. So Jesus says the disciples come to him, and we come to him because we're his disciples. And you want to know how to pray, don't you? How do you pray? What actually do you say? What should you pray for? And they come to Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray, because we're in a muddle. And Jesus gives them some mechanics of prayer, like we went over. Go in by yourself, isolate yourself, go into a room, shut the door, pray to God in secret, and God who sees in secret will reward you. And then he says something in verse 8 that gives us a clue. He says, now, don't babble on like the idolaters do. And what are they babbling on about? They're babbling on about things they want, things they need. How do I know that? Because the very next verse, verse 8, I hope you're following along in your Bible or on the back of your devotional, and it's my mistake, not Nathan's. I left some of these passages off on the back of the devotional. So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and then you can follow along that way. Remember, I do highly recommend a couple of notes here and there, because this can really help you in your prayer life. Then he says something in verse 8. Don't be like them. Like them in what way? Well, don't be like them in asking God to give you things to supply needs that God already knows you need. See that in verse 8? Don't ask him. Jesus is not saying you should never do it, but he's saying that's not the gist of what your praying should be. Well, what should it be then? He says, therefore, verse 9, isn't that, and by the way, is that not comforting to you? That verse 8, is that comforting to you? It is to me. Sometimes I forget. Do you? I forget when I'm praying of things that I need, things that other people need, or things that I, quite frankly, want to have happen in my life. And so the hope here for us is that we have a sovereign God who already knows what you need. He is on the case. You don't have to be responsible for that, but you do need to be responsible for something else. Verse 9, therefore you should pray like this. Our Father, who's in the heavenly realm, your name be honored as holy. Your kingly rule be extended, and your will simply be done. Your name be honored. Jesus says, this is what you should pray for. Your kingly rule extended, and your will simply done. Where? Where, Jesus? Well, Jesus says, I'll tell you. On earth, I want those things. You should want those things to be done on earth in the same exact way that it's done in the heavenly realm. Jesus is commanding that which is true in heaven become a reality on earth. Please note that. That which is presently true in heaven become presently true on earth. There are things about you that are presently true in the heavenly realm that Jesus says can also be true on earth. Do you grasp that? You got problems? They don't exist in heaven. And Jesus is saying, and either he is commanding us to do something that is impossible and therefore consigns us to a lifetime of frustration in our praying. Are you telling me, Jesus, that which is presently true in heaven can and should be revealed on earth? Yes, Jesus says, that's exactly what I'm saying. Then he gives, after the first three petitions, and I hope I'm making this clear, and I hope that the introduction is clear, because grasping this, you'll grasp everything about praying. Then he gives three more petitions, doesn't he? He says, give us our daily necessities. He says, perfect our relationships. And he says, lead us. Lead us. The last three things in Jesus' model prayer will be granted to you unequivocally if the first three petitions of Jesus' prayer are your life's desire. Do you want your daily necessities to be taken care of? Do you want your relationships to be perfected? And do you want to be led by God? Make the first three petitions the goal of your life, and God will provide the last three petitions to make the first three petitions possible. Let me explain that by the Civil War. Teresa's reading these books on the Civil War. And, you know, something we forget when we read about the Civil War, we watch the shows about the Civil War, is when you see a battle, you know, they had a goal. The goal was to win the battle. We're talking about Gettysburg Battle. The goal was to win the Battle of Gettysburg. That was the first petition. In order to have that come to be, each side had to have a tremendous supply chain of wagons loaded with food and medical care and clothing and blankets and ammunition and weaponry. A tremendous train of this coming into, but the goal of the generals was to win that battle. And in order to make that occur, in order to win the battle, see, the supply chain had to be bringing the stuff. You see where I'm going with this? In order for, in my life and your life, God's name to be honored as holy, His kingly rule to be extended, and His will to be done, in order for that to occur in your life and my life, God will make the last three petitions true. It's the supply chain. Yes? Tracking? You want something fixed in your life? Make the first three petitions your life's desire and goal, and God will take care of supplying you with the supply chain to make that happen. Now if you're befuddled, okay, I'm with you, because it took a while for this to settle into my conscience. But I think the supply chain thing might help with the Civil War. You see, the generals ordered the supply chain to be coming and bringing those things so that their main goal would be accomplished to win the battle. You see, God has a main goal. Jesus has a main goal. And He wants us to have a main goal. The first three petitions of the prayer: honor His name as holy, extend His kingly rule, and do His will. And when that is your supreme heart's desire, God reaches behind those requests and gives you the infrastructure, the foundation, so that those can come true. Yes? You know how I pray for my marriage? Make us an image-bearing marriage. Do you know how God will answer that? The last three petitions. Do you want your relationship to be perfected? Instead of instead of making that your heart's desire, walk this line with me. Instead of that, and this is not indicative of Teresa and me, but I'm just going to say, this is not indicative of Teresa and me. Okay, this caveat. There's nothing I'd rather do than spend time with that woman, vice versa. But, okay, with that being said, God, in my prayer, let's say a hypothetical, God, oh, we just have to stop arguing. God, you know, help us get along. Help us resolve this issue. Fix our home. Instead, this is a prayer that will always be answered, what I'm about to say. We have our master's word on it. Instead, God, make my relationship with this man or woman one that bears your image. God's ears perk up. And in order to make that relationship one that reflects him, he will stop the arguing. Yes? No? Getting it? Clicking? Tracking? I can't pay my bills. God, send money. God, send money. This is the fourth petition. Give us today our daily bread. Just can't make ends meet. God, send the money. Well, God scratches his head. We don't have any money up here. You're asking for money. We don't have any money. But I'll tell you what I do have. I have the Holy Spirit that will change your life so that you will honor my name as holy, extend my kingly rule, and do my will. Now I'm listening. Now you're talking to me. And in order for you to do that, and I see now, God says, I see that is your heart's desire. I see that is what you want more than anything. And you can hardly do those things if you're beggardly. Therefore, in order to make that true in your life, I will supply your daily needs. I'll give you the foundation. I'll give you the supply train. Oh, well, you're going to say, well, okay. I'm gonna con God here. I really want a new car, so I'll say, I'll tell God, well, I want to honor your name. I want to extend your kingly rule. I want to do your will, God. And I know if I ask that, what I really want, the car, well, see, I'll get it. What did Jesus say to Satan when Satan said that exact same thing to him? Bow down to me and I'll give you the kingdoms. What did he say? That's right. All of the three things that Satan dangled in front of Jesus, bread, physical safety, kingdoms of the world, material, all three of those things that Satan dangled like the carrot in front of a dirt farmer's mule, all three, God provided for Jesus because Jesus sought first the kingdom. What did he say about that? Now you're getting that? Because Jesus starts out this sermon with how to pray, and later on in the sermon, he says, you know, here's a better way to probably say that to you so you'll never forget it. If you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. So instead of making these things the goal of your life, make the goal of your life the kingdom of God, and God will reach behind that request and provide the infrastructure to make it happen. Is your marriage an image-bearing marriage? Is that your goal? Is your family an image-bearing family? Is the goal of your work Your vocation, watch this, is the goal of your vocation to honor his name out there in the hurly-burly of the world? Is it truly your desire? If Matthew 6, 9 to 10 and following is prayed here, parentheses, from the heart, God will always answer that prayer, and he will provide the supply chain to make that prayer come true in your life. What's your issue? Finances, health, relationships. What's your issue? Turn these stones into bread. Yeah, Satan says, yeah, turn them into bread. Jesus says, I found something better than the stones being turned into bread. I have found that I can live a full life beyond my wildest expectations when I live out of the word that comes from God's mouth. And what did God do as a result of that? He provided bread for Jesus. What's your issue? Health, relationship, finances, what is it? Well, this certainly can't pertain to this kind of thing, Tim. And by the way, Tim, where do you get off on this stuff? Can you back this up? Oh, yeah, I can back it up. Are you saying that God doesn't want to hear my things? No, Jesus says no. Jesus doesn't say that. But he says God already knows what you need. He knows, and he'll do that when the desire of your heart is the first three petitions of this prayer. There's a reason Jesus recommended to pray this way. I just can't get there, Tim. I cannot honestly say. I'd like to. I can't honestly say that that's my heart's desire, my life's goal, to honor his name and to extend his kingly rule and to do his will. Yeah, I think that would be good, but I can't say that it is. Therefore, is there a back door here? Is there a way around this? Must be some other kind of route to get what I want. Well, no. No. There's a powerful concept that comes out of the Lord's Prayer. This is maybe a jotting down moment. Came to me yesterday at 10:45, sitting on my front porch with my bride on my love seat. We're both reading our scripture, and it came to me then. And I thought, there's two concepts here from the Lord's Prayer that I never saw before. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Here they are. Yeah, I want you to convey this to Newville. Okay, I'm going to convey it to Newville tomorrow. Concept number one, to glorify God, to honor God, to extend God's kingly rule, and to do his will is the pinnacle of human experience here on earth. There's no experience, nothing that satisfies you as a human like doing that. You will experience the height of humanity when that happens in and through your life. How do you know that? I'll tell you exactly how I know it. That's a good question. Here's how I know it. Because Genesis 1:26 says so. God created humanity and he crowned them with something. He crowned them. He said, you're human, and here's how you're going to experience what you were made for, the height of existence. You're going to be my image bearers. I find, frankly, Tim, I think Scripture's boring, and I think you're boring, Tim. And I think that I just can't get into this. You seem kind of excited about it, but I'm not. And so I would say back to you, the reason you're not is because you've not experienced the pinnacle of human existence, and that is to glorify God through your life, aka be an image bearer. Why are you so happy, Jesus? We just went into town. I told you this last week. We went into town to get food, and we come back, and we find you positively giddy. And Jesus says, well, I have food you don't know about. Jesus had just experienced the pinnacle of human experience when he had the dialogue with the woman at the well, and she bought into what he was saying. Have you ever had that experience? That's concept number one. Well, there's a lot of good human experiences besides that. I'm not saying there aren't. But if this is what you experience, if you seek first the kingdom, every other experience in your life becomes richer, fuller, deeper. We'll end with this statement. That first concept, this truth, you might understand. I'll bet you everybody here understands that truth. Probably wouldn't argue with it. Not enough. Man, geez, Tim. I thought I was doing pretty good here, and I understood it, and now you're saying that's not enough. Not enough. You have to experience it. Unless you experience it, it will not be your life's desire. Have you experienced being an image bearer? And if you have, you've experienced the pinnacle of existence. And if you have experienced it, see, prayer is how we experience the kingdom. If you've experienced this, it becomes your heart's desire. If you've experienced it, it purifies your prayers, and God will answer your prayer every time. That is straight from Jesus' mouth. How pure are your prayers? You babble like the idolaters? How pure is your praying? Your praying will be purified if and when you experience image bearing. You experience it, not just hear about it, not just hear me talk about it, not just read about it. You experience it yourself, and God will provide the experiences. And once you do that, you will say, I can't settle for anything else. I can never go back. Matthew, Peter, extra biblical, yes. But Matthew says to Peter, or Peter says to Matthew, my wife wants me to come home. Matthew says, well, you know, Peter, you're never going to go home again. You're never going to go home again because you've experienced something. You've experienced what it means to be with the image bearer. And Peter says, yeah, you're right. I'm never going to go home again because nothing comes close to what this experience has done for me. It became the warp and the woof of Peter's life. He experienced it, and it purified his prayers. And God answers those prayers every single time. Do you have frustration in your prayer life? Banging at the door of God to change your stones into bread? Do you have frustration? And you make my relationships better, make my finances better, make my health better? Try allowing the Holy Spirit to implant in your heart the desire to honor his name, extend his kingly rule, and to do his will. Try that and watch what happens. I've experienced this. You're listening to someone. And you don't want my credentials. I've experienced this. Has the Spirit hooked you a little bit here? Is your interest piqued? You want to go on with this next week? You want to go deeper with this? Okay, good. You want your prayers to be answered? You want to be an image bearer? You want to experience the height of the pinnacle of human existence? Next week, we're going to look at one who had his prayers purified. And the result, the world-changing historical result of this one man. Let's pray. Lord, I am praying for all here, that you would purify our praying, that you would make us your image bearers. Amen.